Welcome back. In this lesson, we're exploring Lesson 5.1 AI-Assisted Academic Workflows and Research Support. If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along. Now, let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill.
It's great to be here. This is such a critical topic right now.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, to just set the scene for you listening right now, imagine walking into a boardroom. You've got this flawlessly structured 50-page data synthesis that honestly took you like 3 minutes to generate.
Right, living the dream.
Exactly, until you get immediately fired because of one completely fabricated statistic buried on page 4.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is the nightmare.
Right. So today we are looking at how to harness that immense street of AI without, you know, sacrificing the intellectual rigor that actually keeps you employed. Because you probably felt this struggle, right?
That crushing weight of information overload.
Yes. The poor organization, the inefficient study methods, time management is just a mess.
And that boardroom scenario, I mean, that is the exact tightrope modern learners and professionals are walking every single day. We're currently facing a volume of data that our traditional study methods just, well, they simply cannot process it.
They just break down.
Completely. Your cognitive energy ends up entirely depleted just trying to sort the information.
Right.
Right? Leaving basically nothing left for actual understanding. Our mission today is to transform how you handle that information.
I love that. Moving from just drowning in it to actually having a system.
Exactly. Moving from feeling totally overwhelmed to building a streamlined AI-assisted productivity system.
Okay, let's unpack this, because I used to think of this as trying to drink from a fire hose.
Yeah.
But it's really more like trying to organize a massive library while thousands of loose pages are just constantly being thrown at your head.
That is a terrifying visual, but very accurate.
Right. You spend all your time just picking up the paper, trying to figure out like which book it belongs to. Mm-hmm. And there's this pervasive misconception that AI is supposed to just read the books for you so you don't have to.
Right, like a shortcut to bypass the actual work.
Exactly. But it's actually more like installing a highly advanced automated Dewey Decimal System. It catches the loose pages, it categorizes them, and shelves them perfectly so you can finally just sit down and read.
The library analogy really captures the core concept of what the source material calls academic productivity. Because we have culturally conflated the mechanical administrative tasks of studying with the actual cognitive work of learning.
Wait, say more about that. What do you mean by administrative tasks?
Well, think about spending 3 hours color coding a study guide or, you know, manually formatting citations.
Oh, I used to spend hours on citations.
Right. Or sorting through 50 pages of unstructured lecture transcripts just to find 3 recurring themes. That feels like work, right?
It feels like you're being so productive.
But it is just formatting. It is organization.
The actual thinking hasn't even started yet. You're just setting the table.
Exactly. And by the time the table is set, your working memory is totally exhausted. I mean, the human brain is a phenomenal processing engine for synthesis and critical analysis, but it has severe limitations when it comes to short-term data storage.
We are just terrible filing cabinets.
We really are. So when you leverage AI tools to support your research, to, you know, gather, filter, and structure the raw info, you are engaging in a process of cognitive offloading.
Cognitive offloading.
Yeah. You remove the mechanical burden from your brain's limited working memory, and that frees up your cognitive processor to do what only a human can do, analyze, synthesize, and judge.
Just imagine how much more effective your learning could be if you didn't spend like 80% of your time just trying to organize your raw notes.
It's a complete game changer.
So if we take that into a practical scenario, let's look at what this actually looks like when you're staring down something massive. Like a senior thesis or, you know, a comprehensive market research report.
Right. The really intimidating stuff.
Yeah. You aren't just logging into ChatGPT and saying, write my thesis.
Yeah.
You are using it to architect the journey.
And the source material breaks this down into really actionable strategies, starting with the brainstorming phase.
The blank page.
The dreaded blank page, yeah. When you are confronting that, an AI acts as a rapid iteration sounding board. You can feed it your initial, completely half-baked ideas and ask it to generate potential structural outlines.
Or like identify overlapping themes in your mess of thoughts.
Exactly. From there, you move into the reading phase. When you have a dense, highly technical academic paper, you use the AI to generate a high-level conceptual summary.
But the crucial nuance here, and this is where advanced users really separate themselves from beginners, is that you aren't using the summary to replace the reading.
No, definitely not.
You are using it to build a mental framework. If I know the core arguments and the conclusion before I dive into the deep reading, my brain can automatically contextualize the dense data as I read it.
You know where the pieces fit.
Right. I'm not lost in the weeds because I already have the aerial photograph.
That's a great way to put it. Then you transition into organizing the output. You take your chaotic, unstructured notes, the stuff you jotted down during that deep reading, and you have the AI structure them.
So it's doing the filing cabinet work again.
Precisely. You prompt it to categorize your notes by chronological order or thematic relevance or, you know, to map out the opposing arguments you've documented.
Okay, that makes sense.
And finally, you can use it to generate the study scaffolding. Hmm. So asking the AI to create comprehensive revision plans and specific practice questions based on the material you've gathered.
Okay, I have to jump in here. I want to push back on that last point.
Oh, go for it.
If an AI is organizing my notes, finding the themes, and literally writing my study questions, aren't I just outsourcing my learning?
It's a very valid fear.
Right, because I always felt like the physical struggle of wrestling with my notes and forcing myself to write out practice questions was the friction that made the info stick in my head. If we remove that friction, how do I actually retain anything?
What's fascinating here is that the friction of organizing notes creates an illusion of competence.
An illusion?
Yeah. Cognitive science shows it is largely passive review. You feel productive because you are busy, but passive review doesn't reliably build long-term neural pathways.
Oh, wow. So the struggle isn't actually helping me remember.
Not efficiently, no. AI should support learning, not replace it. This is the difference between the scaffolding and the building. Generating a revision plan and a list of practice questions with AI is incredibly efficient scaffolding.
But you still have to climb it.
You still have to climb it. The AI provides the questions, but you must independently retrieve the answers from your own memory.
And that's the actual workout.
Exactly. That mechanism active recall is what forces your hippocampus to consolidate short-term information into long-term memory.
So by letting the AI build the scaffolding, you stop wasting your study hours figuring out what you should be testing yourself on.
You get to spend 100% of your time actually engaging in retrieval practice. It accelerates you directly to the point of active learning.
You literally skip the setup and go straight to the workout. That makes total sense, especially when you start looking at how this scales.
The scaling is where it gets really powerful.
Right, because if we're training ourselves to rely on these scaffolding tools now, how does that translate when the safety net of the university is gone?
That's the real question.
The source material highlights a case study of a student who improved their exam preparation by combining AI summaries with independent note review and rigorous academic verification.
They didn't just passively read the output.
No, they used it to inform their own deep dive.
And that combination AI assistance driving speed paired with independent human review driving accuracy, that is the foundational workflow of the modern digital economy.
It's what employers are actually looking for.
Exactly. The academic workflow is simply the sandbox where you build these professional muscles. Let's translate that student's exam prep into the boardroom scenario you mentioned at the beginning.
Okay.
You are a young professional, maybe a junior analyst, tasked with preparing a high-stakes client presentation summarizing 3 years of market trends.
You are dealing with hundreds of financial reports, client histories, and market forecasts.
A mountain of loose pages.
Yes. If you try to manually read and categorize all of that data the traditional way, the deadline will pass before you finish the first folder.
So you use AI to synthesize the data. You extract the key financial metrics and generate summaries of the market trends. You literally compress 3 weeks of manual sorting into 3 hours.
But, and this is the big, but you know, the AI does not know the client's nuanced history.
Right. Nor does it understand the unwritten political dynamics of that specific boardroom.
So you use the AI to clear the path, but then you must apply your independent review skills. You verify the extracted metrics, apply your critical thinking to the narrative, and inject the strategic nuance.
Because the moment you walk into that presentation, you own that data.
Completely. The client doesn't care that an AI generated the summary. If the AI hallucinates a market trend and you present it as fact, your credibility is destroyed.
The speed of the machine is worthless without the critical evaluation of the human.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. With this massive increase in productivity and speed, there is a heightened risk of making faster, more catastrophic mistakes if we remove that human element.
Oh, absolutely. When you increase your velocity by a factor of 10, Any error you make is also amplified by a factor of 10.
You aren't just making a typo anymore.
No, you risk making rapid structural mistakes if you bypass human oversight. And the source material frames this around responsible use, outlining 3 non-negotiable requirements for the user.
Accuracy, originality, and critical evaluation.
Right. And the accuracy piece fundamentally comes down to understanding what a large language model actually is.
It's a predictive text engine. It is not a database of absolute truth.
That is such an important distinction.
It's like a highly confident improv actor, right?
Yeah.
It will give you a plausible sounding answer based on patterns it has seen before, even if it has to totally invent the details to make the pattern fit.
Yes, and that's why hallucinations happen. If you don't critically evaluate the output, you just adopt those fabricated details as your own.
And originality is equally vulnerable here.
Completely, because AI models, by design, aggregate and average out existing information.
So if you rely on them to write your academic papers or, you know, craft your professional strategy documents, you strip away your unique voice.
You lose the specific idiosyncratic insights that actually make your work valuable to an employer. You basically become a generic output generator, producing content that is perfectly average.
Which makes critical evaluation the ultimate safety net. It's the habit of actively interrogating the output rather than just passively accepting it.
Asking things like, does this logic hold up?
Or what context is the AI missing? Is there algorithmic bias in how it summarized these opposing arguments?
And that leads directly to the core concept. If we connect this to the bigger picture, it's about the verification rule.
The verification rule.
AI-generated academic or professional content must be verified using authoritative original sources.
Because the AI is just a compass, right?
Yeah.
Pointing you in a general direction. But you have to verify the actual coordinates on a real map.
Exactly. If the AI provides a compelling statistic or cites a specific study, you must track down the original academic paper or the raw data source to confirm it exists and is being represented accurately.
Verification is what maintains your academic and professional credibility.
So if we know the risks and we understand the cognitive benefits of offloading the mechanical work, the challenge becomes practical implementation.
Right, because knowing the rules isn't enough. We have to build a daily system that enforces those rules automatically.
So we don't have to rely on willpower every time we open a browser.
Exactly. And the lesson sets up a specific activity for this, creating a personalized AI-assisted study workflow. This is built on 5 pillars.
Research organization, note management, revision planning, source verification, and productivity routines.
Those are the pillars. And to power them, the source material points us toward specific practical tools. Things like NotebookLM, ChatGPT, and Perplexity AI.
Alongside some much deeper conceptual frameworks.
Let's look at the mechanics of those tools first, because they aren't interchangeable, are they?
No, not at all. Perplexity AI, for example, is uniquely suited for the research organization and source verification pillars.
Because it's not just a standard text generator.
Right. It functions as an answer engine that actively crawls the web and cites its sources in real time.
Which is huge. You aren't just getting a synthesized answer. You are getting the footnotes, which immediately streamlines that verification process we just established as non-negotiable.
Then you have NotebookLM, which operates on a completely different mechanism, making it incredibly powerful for your note management pillar.
Yeah, NotebookLM is fascinating.
Instead of pulling from the open internet, it creates a closed semantic vector space using only the documents you upload.
So, like your specific lecture transcripts, your PDFs, your personal reading notes?
Exactly. It maps the mathematical relationships between the concepts in your trusted documents. You can ask it to synthesize connections across a semester's worth of reading, and it will only draw from the materials you provided.
Which essentially eliminates the hallucination risk, while still uncovering these serendipitous connections you might have totally missed on your own.
And then you have ChatGPT, which shines in the revision planning pillar. Because it's trained on such a vast corpus of general knowledge, it is excellent at generating those active recall practice questions or, you know, designing complex study schedules.
It builds the scaffolding efficiently.
Right. But tools alone don't create a workflow. If you don't have a philosophy for how you work, you just end up with a very fast, very chaotic mess.
This is where the further reading materials from the source become, like, essential operating systems for your workflow.
The concept of building a second brain is the architectural foundation for note management.
It operationalizes the cognitive offloading we discussed earlier.
It is about intentionally externalizing your knowledge into a trusted digital system. you create interconnected nodes of information outside your head,
allowing your biological brain to focus entirely on synthesis rather than storage.
And to do that synthesis, you need the framework of deep work.
Yes, deep work addresses the productivity routine pillar.
Deep work is the ability to focus without distraction on a cognitively demanding task. The danger of having AI tools that work instantly is that they encourage continuous context switching.
You bounce from generating a prompt to checking an email to reading a summary.
Neurologically, every time you switch contexts, you leave behind a tension residue, which diminishes your cognitive capacity.
So you can have the most advanced AI tools available, but if you lack the deep focus required to actually climb the steady scaffolding, the tools are useless.
The AI operates in shallow, instantaneous time. Human understanding requires deep, sustained time.
Which brings us to the final framework, co-intelligence. This basically ties the entire workflow together.
It's the mindset of the centaur, the human-AI collaboration.
It's recognizing that you aren't competing with the machine and you aren't delegating your thinking to it either.
You are working with it, combining the immense processing speed of the algorithm with the nuanced critical judgment of a human expert.
Integrating these conceptual frameworks ensures that your workflow is not merely a collection of software subscriptions.
It becomes a cohesive, responsible system designed to amplify your capabilities while protecting your intellectual integrity.
We've covered a massive amount of ground today.
We really have.
We moved from organizing the chaotic library of information to understanding the neurology of active recall. We looked at how the study tools of today directly mirror the data synthesis requirements of the future boardroom.
And we dug into the mechanics of vector spaces and predictive text to understand why verification isn't just a suggestion, it's a survival skill.
It all culminates in a fundamental shift in how we approach intellectual labor. I want to leave you with the main reflection prompt from the source, because it's something you need to constantly ask yourself as these tools evolve. How can AI improve my academic workflows while still supporting independent thinking and learning?
That is the perfect question to end on. True deep work in our digital future doesn't mean rejecting technology and doing everything manually out of a misplaced sense of purity.
But it absolutely doesn't mean blindly handing the steering wheel over to an algorithm either.
True deep work means knowing precisely when to lean on the machine to clear the path and when to rely entirely on the rigor, the creativity, and the critical edge of your own mind. That is the balance we must all strive to achieve as the digital landscape shifts around us.
As we wrap up this deep dive, we want to explicitly encourage you to stay intensely curious about these emerging tools. Do not let fear dictate your workflow, but remain deeply responsible in how you apply them. Keep yourself future ready by continuously refining your systems and questioning your own processes.
And to solidify everything we've explored today, please make sure to review the end of module study guide and complete the workbook activities provided in your course. Translating these concepts into practice is where the real learning happens.
We also want to acknowledge the reference materials we unpacked today, which serve as foundational pillars for these workflows. Co-intelligence, building a second brain, deep work, Notebook LM, ChatGPT, and Perplexity AI.
Thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive.
Keep learning, keep adapting, and keep asking the right questions. We'll see you next time.